This is Pharaoh's House.
Greetings, virtuous ones, and welcome. In this podisode, a continuation in sound, the sound parasite connection, especially to your programmed favorite sounds or music or tunes, plus crafted, aka possessed or processed, foods and how they contribute to a world of parasites within you. And in my holistic health benefits, are you molecularly compatible with your mate or partner? In this first segment, we start with the question, as always, is there a sound parasite connection? Yes, there is. I've introduced several past lectures on parasites and their impact and influence on overall health, mostly regarding cognition-steering parasites. Though there are a variety of parasites and connected health issues, in this podisode I focus solely on the effects certain parasites have on cognition and will. Review the past podisodes 52, 60, and 16 for parasite basics. These entities have various names. I'll focus on a few of the most common insidious ones that impact cognition and other functions of the CNG or CNS. That's the so-called central nervous system. I call it central nervous grid, which is more accurate. There exist a variety of life energy eating parasites, and they use a variety of pathways to occupy targeted hosts. The focus for this podisode are those that thrive off of certain sounds and toxic chemicals. I shall call out these aforementioned parasites by their current names where applicable. Keep in mind, these entities are opportunistic. Some parasites can infect the brain and spinal cord in anyone, even if they're healthy. But other parasites are more likely to cause problems in people who have weakened immune grids or systems, like those who are undergoing popular cancer treatment, for example, or who have so-called autoimmune diseases or other so-called serious illnesses. Though there are many other parasite varieties, I'll focus on a worm named Taenia solium. But make no mistakes, parasites find their way to targeted hosts through many pathways, but mainly or primarily through food, air, and water. The Taenia solium's contribution to suffering includes such disorders as neurocysticercosis, which occurs when the Taenia solium larvae infect the central nervous grid or system. The parasite forms cysts in the brain, leading to neurological issues such as seizures, headaches, and altered cognitive functions, including impaired decision-making. People who ingest pork or pork byproducts or products contaminated with the larvae of these creatures are susceptible. And mind you, pork byproducts are used in everything from agricultural feed and fertilizers to various foods labeled as organic. Pork is a familiar conduit for parasites, their eggs and cysts. The cysts, and also eggs, often escape heavy processing that occurs to processed foods and even topical products. Many food products, including non-meat items, contain pork or pork byproducts that can go unnoticed by consumers due to labeling loopholes and vague designations like natural. Additionally, some food crops may be treated with fertilizers or sprays containing animal-derived byproducts, including pork. Theoretically, modern meat safety protocols prevent cross-contamination of pork and its byproducts, right? Not necessarily. Protocol standards for preventing cross-contamination have become lacking in many so-called industrialized nations, and production levels have increased due to higher demands for these so-called commodities. The risk of contamination has increased, plain and simple. But cross-contamination is not the core issue here. The core issue is pork as a conduit on a molecular level, meaning presence of these molecules commingled with other conduits make human hosts more susceptible to opportunistic parasites and their virus cohort. More on this in the following segment of this podisode. In the meantime, here is my list of non-meat food products and crops that may involve pork or its derivatives. Take note of these non-meat food products that may contain pork or pork byproducts. The first one is gelatin, often found in many non-meat foods like gummy supplements and gummy candies and marshmallows and some yogurts and certain desserts like those that are gelatin-based and puddings. This gelatin is often derived from the collagen of animal bones, primarily from pigs because they're cheaper to get and to process. Pork gelatin is known for its gelling properties, while pork emulsifiers can help to stabilize emulsions. Most religions, even those that forbid pork consumption, give an okay to pork byproducts, and pork byproducts are easier to mask in other ingredients than other meat animal products. Plus, pigs are cheaper, as I mentioned, and readily available all over the world. Your processed baked goods. Items like pastries, donuts, and bread under the ingredient name L-cysteine, an amino acid often sourced from pig hair. Human hair is also used as a source of L-cysteine used in consumables. Next is chewing gum, especially those brands intended for kids. You know, the ones that come in a variety of flavors, emulsified for blowing bubbles, not just chewing. These bubble gums contain gelatin as a binding agent. Then there are certain vitamin supplements, mainly those gel caps or gelatin capsules in supplements and medications. These are often made from pork-based gelatin, not vegetable sources, because the pork-based gel caps break down easier in stomach acids and enzymes. Are you still consuming daily dairy or dairy products daily? Many people drink milk or have ice cream or yogurt or some form of dairy. Then you should know that dairy products like yogurt, sour cream, and cream cheese may use gelatin as a thickening agent, which is typically pork derived and often contains larvae and sometimes cysts. Are you still consuming simple carbs in the form of sweets? Then you should know that candy coatings, glazed candies, and as I mentioned earlier, chewing gum, all contain pork byproducts. The shiny glaze on candies, chewing gum, certain gums, and even some pills may contain stearic acid, a fat derived from slaughterhouse byproducts, including mainly pork. Earlier I mentioned emulsifying agents. Typically, these are listed as mono and diglycerides on various food labels. These commonly used emulsifiers are found in a variety of products like peanut butter, ice cream, baked goods, and margarine, which is basically plastic and pork. They can be derived from animal fats, including pork. The insidious thing about these subversive tactics does not end with the obvious. Case in point, sprays containing animal fat derivatives. Many so-called insect control products, or growth enhancers even, used in gardening and farming include fatty acids derived from animal fats, primarily pork. This brings us to labeling issues, mainly the term natural, which is not strictly regulated and can include a wide range of animal-derived ingredients. Food processors, manufacturers, various food-related companies, and labs are often not required to specify the source of animal-based ingredients like gelatin, mono and diglycerides, and other additives. And this applies to those assorted vague ingredients. Ingredients with the words like enzymes or flavorings and emulsifiers can sometimes come from pork, but often the labels are deliberately unclear about the specific animal source. And it's not just what you put in your mouth that affects you. This also affects what you put on you. For example, all those so-called personal care products, even the organic ones, like certain organic soaps, often use glycerin or stearic acid derived from animal fats, mainly pork. Glycerin is a common ingredient in moisturizers, soaps, and lotions. Stearic acid, which is often derived from pork fat, is used in organic creams and lotions as an emulsifier or thickening agent, despite what labels indicate, or rather, do not indicate. Here's an aside. According to westernized biology, Humans are considered a species of animal. Humans are also considered a mutated subspecies of mankind. And you can reference this in early Black's Law Dictionary. Now on to the next topic, which is related to segment one, of course. For this segment, the focus is on the additive stearic acid, which is extracted from pork and used in many products designated for so-called human consumption and application. Stearic acid, a long-chain saturated fatty acid found in many animal fats and some plant oils, has been the subject of research regarding its effects on so-called human immune cells and brain cells for many decades. While stearic acid is generally considered a safe dietary fat, there is evidence that under certain conditions, it has detrimental effects on cellular function, especially when consumed in excess or when it interacts with specific cellular pathways. By the way, excessive consumption is not only achieved through gluttonous or eating consumption of a substance, it is also achieved through application on skin. So how does stearic acid affect so-called human immune and brain cells? The most egregious impact it has is the disruption of mitochondrial function. Stearic acid influences mitochondrial function in so-called immune cells and brain cells. The mitochondria are responsible for energy production in cells, and stearic acid, as a lipid, can be metabolized to produce energy. In other words, mitochondria do not filter or discriminate the stearic acid lipid as a fuel source. And thus, a destabilizing agent sneaks into a vessel through the so-called metaphysical female or maternal energy. A 2013 study on the effects of excessive stearic acid proved stearic acid impairs mitochondrial respiration and increases oxidative stress, leading to metabolic dysfunction. This oxidative stress can weaken the function of immune cells, particularly macrophages and T cells, which are essential for immune defense. In the brain, oxidative stress caused by mitochondrial dysfunction damages neurons and glial brain cells, particularly or potentially contributing to neuroinflammation and neurodegenerative diseases like multiple sclerosis or MS. Oxidative stress is not the only stress condition. There's also endoplasmic reticulum or ER stress, which is rarely mentioned in the media or by the so-called medical industry. Stearic acid can also trigger ER stress in cells, which of course occurs when the endoplasmic reticulum, the part of the cell responsible for protein folding and processing, becomes overwhelmed by misfolded or excess proteins. In the immune cells, or so-called immune cells, ER stress can lead to inflammation and impaired cell function. Chronic ER stress in the immune grid or system can weaken the vessel's ability to respond to infections or other immune challenges. In the brain, ER stress can impair the function of neurons and glial cells, leading to cell death or apoptosis or neuroinflammation, which has been linked to conditions like so-called Alzheimer's disease. ER stress caused by stearic acid is also responsible for fat buildup within certain cells and what I call sudsing effect during the inflammatory response. This fat buildup is called lipid accumulation, and it particularly occurs in macrophages, the immune cells or type of immune cells. This can cause the cells to become foam cells, and that's correct, like foam, which are filled with lipids, and now you have chronic inflammation. Foam cells are often associated with atherosclerosis, but similar processes also weaken immune function by causing inflammatory responses that impair normal cell activity. Mind you, inflammation happens as a protective measure, but when it exceeds a threshold point, you experience health issues. Your participation is appreciated. This part of the podisode ends here. The longer version is available only to subscribing participants. Subscribe today through one of the links shown in the description to absorb the entire podisode.